During my university level studies, Christian students will ask one another this question, or the Christian students in the university will go to the non-Christians and ask this question: have you got your BA degree? Have you got your BA degree? Now, the students will normally reply, I'm just pursuing study. BA is Bachelor of Arts. I have not completed my studies yet. Then they would say, no, we are not talking about this BA. We are talking about born again degree. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? This question was asked among the students, and that's how gospel preached among the students in my time. Have you been born again? So today, I want to raise three questions from the passage that is just read to us, and then let's try to answer those questions. What is born again? What is the meaning of being born again? What is it all about? That's number one. Number two, how does it happen? How all of a sudden someone is born again? What is the significance of it? How this all take place? Thirdly, why no one cannot miss it? Why we cannot afford to miss being born? That's the last question. So we will try to answer these questions as we dwell on this passage that is just read to us, John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. John chapter 3, verse 16, I think we all know by heart. If you don't know it by heart, it is good to memorize these words. People call these words a miniature of the gospel miniature. As someone said, this is gospel's nutshell of the gospel. So in a small words, the gospel is beautifully proclaimed. Nicodemus came to Jesus in the night. Why did he come in the night? There is reason, that's the reason he came to meet with Jesus in the night. He was a Jew, he was a Jewish leader, he knew the Moses law thoroughly, backwards, frontwards, sidewards. He is the expert of the law. And scholars are of the opinion that he was the member of Sanhedrin, a very influential man, very important man, and he belonged to a society where people are suspicious about Jesus. They are all talking about Jesus, but they are not at all giving approval to Jesus' ministry. So he belonged to that category. If he came to Jesus to meet with him, publicly, that would create some problem, and also he did not want to take the risk of losing name among his friends, so he came to Jesus in the night. Now, he knew there is something special about Jesus. That's what he says as soon as he met with Jesus. He says, no one can do these things unless he is sent by God, and all the works that you perform show the presence of God among us. Very beautifully he said. So he has sensed something special about Jesus, so he wanted to acknowledge that to Jesus. So he came to Jesus. The first step towards receiving gospel, the first step to become the child of God, we all need to come to him. Take risk. People may be speaking against us. People may be mocking at us. But the first step is important. taking risk and coming to him. Without coming to him, none of us are going to be saved. He is waiting for us. Even at midnight, he wouldn't mind to open the door for all of us. He is available 24/7, waiting for us, and he doesn't reject anyone. If you read the Gospels, you would notice that Jesus never rejected anyone. People chose to walk away from him, but he was always embracing, accepting, receiving, more than willing to go and receive people. He is the one whom we need to go to, nobody else. John the Baptist very clearly preached in his sermons that I am not the one you should be looking for. No, not at all. I am a friend of the bridegroom. The bridegroom is Jesus. Go to him. If you look at Mary's ministry, which is very hidden, she would point finger at Jesus. Why are you troubling yourself? Why are you running here and there? Yes, I know that the wine is drying out, draining, but the solution is available here. Go to Jesus. The evangelist, the preachers, the pastors, everyone does this job, pointing finger at Jesus. We need to go to him. We need to look up to him. He is the one who is going to give us salvation. And Nicodemus came to Jesus and he started conversation, and Jesus is not interested in that kind of a conversation. Immediately he said something which took to the next level of conversation. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. He did not ask that question, nor he was ready for that kind of question or answer. But Jesus immediately said, you have come to me and I want you to become the child of God, but you need to be born from above. Nicodemus could not understand anything of what Jesus was saying. Now, what Jesus is saying to him is, if you are born in this world, you are born in flesh, it's a physical birth, and it has lasting consequences. It has got lasting consequences. When I was born as a child, yes, it has consequences. I have grown, I have become a servant, and all that. It has a lasting consequences. What Jesus is saying, if you are born from above, that also has got lasting consequences. You were born in a family of father, mother, and other relatives in a society. But if you born from above means you need to be born in the family of God, where Jesus is the head, where you are called the child of God. So you need to be born in this family. The physical birth has got, you can trace the physical birth, where you were born, in which place you were born, in the house or hospital, and all that you can trace back. But with this birth, you're not able to trace how it all happened. That's the reason Nicodemus was shocked. Nicodemus is shocked because he thought that all his credentials have got no meaning. Now, he is a Jew, he is a Jewish leader, he is a member of the Sanhedrin. That means a very influential person. Sanhedrin is under the Roman rule, who were responsible for political, religious, and judicial matters. Highly influential. I have gained a lot of credentials on myself. Where are these going to go? Are they not important? So Jesus said, look, all are not important. you have to be born again. Unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. These credentials are not going to go and push you to the kingdom of God. You have to come and be born again. Now, the second question, how can it be? That's what he asked. How can these things happen? So Jesus immediately answered, look, as Moses lifted up the snake, the bronze snake, whoever were bitten by snake, they looked up to this snake, bronze snake, they were saved. The same way, Son of Man has to be lifted up. When he is lifted up, whoever looks at him are saved. Whoever see him are saved. Still, the question remained, how can that be? Jesus said, see the wind. From where it comes, where it goes, nobody knows. But wind is there. The similar thing, this is the work of the Spirit. You cannot trace it. You cannot trace it, but it's a work of the Spirit. One particular scholar explaining this passage said, this is the work of the Spirit, full stop. You cannot go and dig it. We may come up with our own answer saying that I was born again on this particular day, this particular hour, on this particular place. Okay, you may say that, but you have already been accepted probably by the Lord as his child. You never know, the Holy Spirit works in mysterious ways. That's how we all become Christians. He is at work. Nobody can trace it. Nobody can trace it. Some examples I thought I would bring in. My uncle was a priest. As I was growing up, he explained this to me. When you, in those days, nowadays we get yogurt in the supermarket. When we were growing, every night our mother will put a small bit of curd, yogurt, into the leftover milk. The next morning, when you look at the milk, which is totally transformed into yogurt. How it all happened? We don't know. God's work in us is also like that. We don't know how all of a sudden I became a new person. In 1993, I was selected to be the student of a seminary. You know, I applied for this seminary education and I was selected. I was all by myself when I traveled from my home to this seminary. I was in Chennai railway station. Thousands of people were traveling in that, you know, in thousands of people were there in the station, and I had to board this train. I was all by myself. I don't know what to do. It's around 20 hours of journey. As I was standing there, I looked at some person, and it came to my mind that this man is also going to the seminary. And that man looked at me and he also said that this boy must be going to the seminary. And we all connected and we had a wonderful journey. How it happens? God is working mysteriously among us. Nobody can say that this is the way God is working. We cannot trace. God's mysterious presence is among us. And we need to enjoy that mysterious presence. The Holy Spirit is moving among us. So that's what Jesus says. How you are all possible? It's all the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, so come, enjoy the mysterious presence of God among us. That's all we can say. I've been saying this in the worship services, is this. Coming to church, coming to worship has got healing effect, therapeutic. It has got a healing effect. How it all happens, I don't know. Many blessings we receive from God. Baptism is such kind of a grace given to us. Through baptism, we receive grace after grace. And many of these traditions have got meaning. Come and enjoy. I don't know the meaning of it. When we receive the Holy Communion, we don't know the entire meaning of it. But we know God is working through this particular Holy Communion, holy elements in me. Jesus is talking about eternal life. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. Eternal life. When you look at the meaning of eternal life, it is not a futuristic. It is time, sorry, it is time outside, it is time inside, and time beyond. See, when I look into Jesus, when I came to him seeking his help in my life, that's where he made me the child of God. The eternal life begins there. It's not futuristic. Already the eternal life is at work in our lives. We don't need to wait for another 30 years, 40 years before we end the life. No, it's all already started working in our lives. Now, we have to come to the why we cannot afford to miss it. The verse 17 is a beautiful verse. I want to read, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The intention of God to send Jesus is to save everyone. Everyone needs to be saved. Not even one person to be lost. But if a person chooses not to follow him, he has no other option except to be condemned. But his intention is to save the world. I thought this illustration will help us out. When I was growing as a teenager, two-wheeler was very famous in our part of the country. Two-wheelers, you know, you would ride, you drive the bikes and the scooters. But in those days, helmet was not compulsory. Helmet was still costly and people were not able to buy helmet. Helmet, the one you put on your head. All of a sudden, government came with the rule that helmet is compulsory. If you don't wear it, then you will have to pay fine. The talk of the town is this, that look, some helmet company went and bribed the government, and therefore the government came up with this rule. And another talk of the town is the policemen wanted that helmet should be made compulsory so that they can always stand out and collect money, fees they may collect or they may take bribe. The intention of implementing helmet use is not for the safety of the people, but for the sake of making money. The intention is to make money, not for the safety of the people. This is the talk of the town at that time. God sent his son. His intention is not to condemn people, not at all. His intention, the only intention, that everyone be saved, not even one to be lost. But if people don't respond to it, they have no other option except to be condemned. God's intention is so clearly revealed. God so loved the world. Nobody is favorable to him. But he loved us. He sent his son. So we all became favorable. Fort Hancock, a man wanted to reach young men in the military camp. He saw many young boys joining the military camp. And it was in New Jersey coast area. And he wanted to reach there with the gospel. He thought these young men should become Christians because they have got the potential to reach the world. But when he approached the military camp authorities, training camp authorities, they said, nothing doing, we will not allow anything such thing happen. Now, God moves in mysterious ways. He got an order from the military camp. The order is that he should make a 3 inches diameter mirror, because you know they have to carry these mirrors with them, you know, portable or easily usable mirror, 3 inches diameter mirror. So that order he got, he was making thousands of them, and every mirror behind, on the back of it, he wrote John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish but may have life eternal. He wrote that words, and underneath he gave a direction. The direction is, if you want to see who it is that God loves, turn the other side. If you want to see who it is that God loves, turn the other side. God's love is available to us. Before it is long, let's come and enjoy God's fellowship. God bless us all. Amen.